A Few Sighs from Hell or The Drones of a Damned Soul by John Bunyan. From the author to the reader. Friend, because it is a dangerous thing to be walking towards a place of darkness and anguish, and again, because it is notwithstanding the journey that most of the poor souls in the world are taking, and that with delight and gladness, as if there was the only happiness to be found, I have therefore thought it my duty, being made sensible of the danger that will befall those that fall therein, for the preventing of thee, O thou poor man or woman, to tell thee, by opening this parable, what sad success those souls have had, and are also like to have, that have been or shall be found persevering therein. We used to count him a friend that will forewarn his neighbor of the danger, when he knoweth thereof, and doth also see that the way his neighbor is walking in doth lead right thereto, especially when we think that our neighbor may be either ignorant or careless of his way. Why, friend, it may be, nay, 20 to 1, but thou hast been, ever since thou didst come into the world, with thy back towards heaven and thy face towards hell, and then it may be either through ignorance or carelessness, which is as bad if not worse, has been running full hastily that way ever since. Why, friend, I beseech thee, put a little stop to thy earnest race, and take a view of what entertainment thou art like to have, if thou do indeed in truth persist in this thy course. Friend, thy way leads down to death, and thy steps take hold on hell. Proverbs 5:5. It may be the path indeed is pleasant to the flesh, but the end thereof will be bitter to thy soul. Hark, dost thou not hear the bitter cries of them that are but newly gone before, saying, Let him dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame? Luke 16:24. Dost thou not hear them say, Send out from the dead to prevent my father, my brother, and my father's house from coming into this place of torment? Shall not then these mournful groans pierce thy flinty heart? Wilt thou stop thine ears and shut thy eyes? And wilt thou not regard? Take warning and stop thy journey before it be too late. Wilt thou be like the silly fly that is not quiet unless she be either entangled in the spider's web or burned in the candle? Wilt thou be like the bird that hasteth to the snare of the fowler? Wilt thou be like the simple one named in the 7th of Proverbs, that will be drawn to the slaughter by the cord of a silly lust? O sinner, sinner, there are better things in hell to be had, and at a cheaper rate by the thousandth part. Oh, there is no comparison. There is heaven, there is God, there is Christ, there is communion with an innumerable company of saints and angels. Hear the message, then, that God does send, that Christ doth send, that saints do bring, nay, that the dead do send unto thee. I pray thee, therefore, that thou wouldst send him to my Father's house. If one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, saith God, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I say, hear this voice, O silly one, and turn and live. Thou sinful soul, lest he make thee hear that other saying. But because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Proverbs 1:22-26. O poor soul, if God in Christ did thus with thee for thine harm, it would be another matter. Then if thou didst refuse, thou mightest have some excuse to make, or fault to find, and ground to make delays. But this is for thy profit, for thy advantage, for the pardoning of thy sins, the salvation of thy soul, and delivering of thee from hell, fire, from the wrath to come, from everlasting burnings, and a favor with God, Christ, and communion with all happiness. That is so indeed. But it may be thou wilt say, all that hath been spoken to in this discourse is but a parable, and parables are no realities. I could put thee off with this answer, that though it be a parable, yet it is a truth and not a lie, and thou shalt find it so too to thy cost, if thou shalt be found a slighter of God, Christ, and the salvation of thy own soul. But secondly, know for certain that the things signified by parables are wonderful realities. Oh, what a glorious reality was there signified by that parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, and so on, signifying that sinners of all sorts, of all nations, should be brought into God's kingdom by the net of the gospel. And oh, how real a thing shall the other part thereof be when it is fulfilled, which saith, "And when it was full, they drew to shore and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away," signifying the mansions of glory that the saints should have, and also the rejection that God will give to the ungodly and to sinners. And also, that parable, what a glorious reality is there in it, which saith, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." To signify that unless Jesus Christ did indeed spill his blood and die the cursed death, he should abide alone, that is, have never a soul into glory with him. But if he died, he should bring forth much fruit, that is, save many sinners. And also how real a truth there was in that parable concerning the Jews putting Christ to death, which the poor dispersed Jews can best experience to their cost. For they have been almost ever since a banished people, and such as have had God's sore displeasure wonderfully manifested against them, according to the truth of the parable. Matthew 21:33-41. Oh, therefore, for Jesus Christ's sake, do not slight the truth, because it is discovered in a parable. For by this argument thou mayest also, nay, thou wilt slight almost all the things that our Lord Jesus Christ did speak. For he spake them for the most part, if not all, in parables. Why should it be said of thee, as it is said of some, "These things are spoken to them that are without in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand"? Luke 8:10. I say, take heed of being a quarreler against Christ's parables, lest Christ also object the salvation of thy soul at the judgment day. Friend, I have no more to say to thee now. If thou dost love me, pray for me, and that my God would not forsake me, nor take his Holy Spirit from me, and that God would fit me to do and suffer what shall be from the world or devil inflicted upon me. I must tell thee, the world rages, they stamp and shake their heads, and fain they would be doing. The Lord help me to take all they shall do with patience, and when they smite the one cheek, to turn the other to them, that I may do as Christ has bidden me, for then the Spirit of God and of glory shall rest upon me. Farewell. I am thine if thou be not ashamed to own me, because of my low and contemptible descent into the world. John Bunyan. Luke 16:19-31. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." A Few Sighs from Hell, or the Groans of a Damned Soul, by John Bunyan. Luke 16:23, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." The former verse speaks only of the departure of the ungodly out of this life, together with the glorious conduct that the godly have into the kingdom of their Father. Now our Lord doth show in this verse partly what doth and shall befall to the reprobate after this life is ended, where he saith, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes." That is, the ungodly, after they depart this life, do lift up their eyes in hell. From these words may be observed these things. First, that there is a hell for souls to be tormented in when this life is ended. Mark, after he was dead and buried, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Second, that all that are ungodly and do live and die in their sins, so soon as ever they die, they go into hell. He died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Third, that some are so fast asleep and secure in their sins that they scarce know well where they are till they come into hell. And that I gather from these words, in hell he lifted up his eyes. He was asleep before, but hell makes him lift up his eyes. First, as I said before, it is evident that there is a hell for souls, yea, and bodies too, to be tormented in after they depart this life, as is clear first. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, that cannot lie, did say that after the sinner was dead and buried, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now if it be objected that by hell is here meant the grave, that I plainly deny. Number one, because there the body is not sensible of torment or ease, but in that hell into which the spirits of the damned depart, they are sensible of torment, and would very willingly be freed from it to enjoy ease which they are sensible of the want of, as is clearly discovered in this parable. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Number two, it is not meant the grave, but some other place, because the bodies, so long as they lie there, are not capable of lifting up their eyes to see the glorious condition of the children of God, as the souls of the damned do. In hell he lifted up his eyes. Number three, it cannot be the grave, for then it must follow that the soul was buried there with the body, which cannot stand with such a dead state as is here mentioned. For he saith, a rich man died, that is, his soul was separated from his body, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. If it be again objected that there is no hell but in this life, that I also deny, as I said before, after he was dead and buried in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And let me tell thee, O soul, whoever thou art, that if thou close not in savingly with the Lord Jesus Christ, and lay hold on what he hath done and is doing in his own person for sinners, thou wilt find such a hell after this life is ended, that thou wilt not get out of it again forever and ever. And thou that are wanton and does but make a mock of the servants of the Lord when they tell thee of the burdens of hell, thou wilt find that when thou departest out of this life, that hell, even the hell which is after this life, will meet thee in thy journey thither, and will with his hellish crew give thee such a sad salutation, that thou wilt not forget it to all eternity, when that scripture comes to be fulfilled on thy soul in Isaiah 14:9-10. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they, that is, that are in hell shall say, art thou also become as weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Oh, sometimes when I have had but thoughts of going to hell, and considered the everlastingness of their ruin that fall in thither, it has stirred me up rather to seek to the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver me from thence, than a slighted and make a mock at it. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Second, the second thing I told you was this, that all the ungodly that live and die in their sins, so soon as ever they depart this life, do descend into hell. This is also verified by the words in this parable, where Christ saith, he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. As a tree falls, so it shall lie, whether it be to heaven or hell. And as Christ said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Even so the devil in the like manner may say unto thy soul, tomorrow shalt thou be with me in hell. See then what a miserable case he that dies in an unregenerate state is in. He departs from a long sickness to a longer hell, from the gripings of death to the everlasting torments of hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Ah, friends, if you were but yourselves, you would have a care of your souls. If you did but regard, you would see how mad they are that slight the salvation of their souls. Oh, what will it profit thy soul to have pleasure in this life and torment once in hell. Mark 8:36. Thou hadst better part with all thy sins and pleasures and companions, or whatsoever thou delightest in, than have soul and body to be cast into hell. Oh, then, do not now neglect our Lord Jesus Christ, lest thou drop down to hell. Hebrews 2:3. Consider, would it not wound thee to thine heart to come upon thy deathbed, and instead of having the comfort of a well-spent life, and the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, together with the comforts of His glorious Spirit, to have first the sight of an ill-spent life, thy sins flying in thy face, thy conscience uttering itself with thunderclaps against thee, the thoughts of God terrifying of thee, death with His merciless paw seizing upon thee, the devil standing ready to scramble for thy soul in hell, enlarging herself, and ready to swallow thee up, and an eternity of misery and torment attending upon thee, from which there will be no release. For mark, death does not come alone to an unconverted soul, but with such company as was thou but sensible of, it would make thee tremble. I pray, consider that scripture in Revelation 6:8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Mark, death does not come alone to the ungodly, no, but hell goeth with him. O miserable comforters, O miserable society, here comes death and hell unto thee. Death goeth into thy body and separates body and soul asunder. Hell stands without, as I may say, to embrace, or rather to crush thy soul between its everlasting grinders. Then thy mirth, thy joy, thy sinful delights will be ended when this comes to pass. Lo, it will come. Blessed are all those that through Jesus Christ, His merits, by faith, do escape these soul-murdering companions. And in hell He lifted up His eyes. Third, the third thing you know that we did observe from these words was this, that some are so fast asleep and secure in their sins that they scarce know where they are until they come into hell. And that I told you I gather by these words, in hell He lifted up His eyes. Mark, it was in hell that He lifted up His eyes. Now some do understand by these words that He came to Himself, or began to consider with Himself, or to think with himself, and what an estate he was, and what he was deprived of, which is still a confirmation of the thing laid down by me. There it is, that they come to themselves, that is, there they are sensible where they are indeed. Thus it fares with some men that they scarce know where they are till they lift up their eyes in hell. It is with those people, as with those that fall down in a swoon. You know, if a man do fall down in a swoon in one room, though you take him up and carry him into another, yet he is not sensible where he is till he cometh unto himself and lifteth up his eyes. Truly thus it is to be feared, it is with many poor souls. They are so senseless, so hard, so seared in their conscience, 1 Timothy 4:2, that they are very ignorant of their state, and when death comes it strikes them as it were into a swoon, especially if they die suddenly, and so they are hurried away and scared, know where they are till in hell they lift up their eyes. This is he who dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. Job 21:23. Of this sort of they spoken of, where he saith, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Psalm 73. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And again, they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment, mark, in a moment, before they are aware, they go down to the grave. Job 21:13. Indeed, this is too much known by woeful and daily experience. Sometimes when we go to visit them that are sick in the towns and places where we live, oh, how senseless, how seared in their consciences are they. They are neither sensible of heaven nor of hell, nor sin nor of a Savior. Speak to them of their condition and the state of their souls, and you shall find them as ignorant as if they had no souls to regard. Others, so they lie ready to die, yet they are busy in themselves about their outward affairs, as though they should certainly live here, even to live and enjoy the same forever. Again, come to others, speak to them about the state of their souls, though they have no experience of the new birth, than a beast, yet they will speak as confidently of their eternal state, and the welfare of their souls, as if they had the most excellent experience of any man or woman in the world, saying, I shall have peace. Deuteronomy 29:19. When, as I said, even now the Lord knows they are as ignorant of the new birth, of the nature and operation of faith, of the witness of the Spirit, as if there were no new birth, no faith, no witness of the Spirit of Christ in any of the saints in the world. Nay, thus many of them are even an hour or less before their departure. Ah, poor souls, though they may go away here like a lamb, as the world says, yet if you could but follow them a little, to stand and listen soon after their departure, it is to be feared, you should hear them roar like a lion at their first entrance into hell, far worse than even Korah and company when they went down quick into the ground. Numbers 16:31-35. Now, by this one thing doth the devil take great advantage on the hearts of the ignorant, suggesting unto them that because the party deceased departed so quietly, without all doubt they are gone to rest and joy, when, alas, it is to be feared, the reason why they went away so quietly was rather because they were senseless and hardened in their consciences, yea, dead in sins and trespasses. For had they but some awakenings on their deathbeds, as some have had, they would have made all the town to ring of their doleful condition. But because they are seared and ignorant, and so depart quietly, therefore the world takes heart of grace, as we used to say, and makes no matter of living and dying they cannot tell how. Therefore pride compasseth them as a chain. But let them look to themselves, for if they have not an interest in the Lord Jesus now, while they live in the world, they will, whether they die, raging or still, go unto the same place and lift up their eyes in hell. Oh, my friends, did you but know what a miserable condition they are in that go out of this world without an interest in the Son of God, it would make you smite upon your thigh and in the bitterness of your souls cry out, Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? Acts 16:29-31. And not only so, but thou wouldst not be comforted until thou didst find a rest for thy soul, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Something in brief I have observed from the first part of this verse, namely from these words, And in hell he lifted up his eyes. And indeed I have observed but some thing, for they are very full of manner, and many things might be taken notice of in them. There is one thing more that I might touch upon as touched in this saying, and that is this. Methinks the Lord Jesus Christ doth hereby signify that men are naturally unwilling to see or take notice of their sad state, I say by nature, but though now they are willingly ignorant, yet in hell they shall lift up their eyes. That is, in hell they shall see and understand their miserable condition. And therefore to these words, in hell he lifted up his eyes, he adds, being in torments, as if he had said, though once they shut their eyes, though once they were willingly ignorant, yet when they depart into hell, they shall be so miserably handled and tormented, that they shall be forced to lift up their eyes. While men live in this world and are in a natural state, they will have a good conceit of themselves and of their condition. They will conclude that they are Christians, that Abraham is their father, and their state to be as good as the best. Matthew 3:7-9. They will conclude they have faith, the Spirit, a good hope, and an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, when they drop into hell and lift up their eyes there, and behold first their soul to be in extreme torments, their dwelling to be the bottomless pit, their company thousands of damned souls, also the innumerable company of devils, and the hot, scalding vengeance of God, not only to drop but to fall very violently upon them, then they will begin to be awakened, who all their lifetime were in a dead sleep. I say, when this comes to pass, lo, it will, then in hell they shall lift up their eyes, in the midst of torments they shall lift up their eyes. Again, you may observe in these words, And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, that the time of the ungodly men smarting for their sins will be in the torments of hell. Now here I am put to a stand when I consider the torments of hell into which the damned do fall. O unspeakable torments! O endless torments! Now that thy soul might be made to flee from those intolerable torments into which the damned do go, I shall show you briefly what are the torments of hell, first, by the names of it, second, by the sad state thou wilt be in if thou comest there. First, the names. It is called a never-dying worm. Mark 9. It is called an oven, fire hot. Malachi 4:1. It is called a furnace, a fiery furnace. Matthew 13. It is called the bottomless pit, the unquenchable fire, fire and brimstone, hell fire, the lake of fire, devouring fire, everlasting fire, eternal fire, a stream of fire. Revelations 21. Second, by the sad state thou wilt be in if thou comest there. Number one. One part of thy torments will be this. Thou shalt have a full sight of all thy ill-spent life from first to last. Though here thou canst sin today and forget it by tomorrow, yet there thou shalt be made to remember how thou didst sin against God at such a time and in such a place, for such a thing and with such an one, which will be a hell unto thee. God will set them in order before thine eyes. Psalm 51:21. Number two, thou shalt have the guilt of them all lie heavy on thy soul. Not only the guilt of one or two, but the guilt of them all. And there they shall lie on thy soul as if thy belly were full of pitch and set on a light fire. Here men can sometimes think on their sins with delight, but there with unspeakable torment. For that I understand to be the fire that Christ speaketh of, which shall never be quenched. Mark 9:43-49. While men live here, oh, how doth the guilt of one sin sometimes crush the soul. It makes a man in such a plight that he is weary of his life, so that he can neither rest at home nor abroad, neither up nor in bed. Nay, I do know that they have been so tormented with the guilt of one sinful thought, that they have even been at their wits' end and have hanged themselves. But now when thou comest into hell, and hast not only one or two or an hundred sins, with the guilt of them all on thy soul and body, but all the sins that ever thou didst commit since thou camest into the world, altogether clapped on thy conscience at one time, as one should clap a red-hot iron to thy breast, if there to continue to all eternity, this is miserable. Number three. Again thou shalt have brought into thy remembrance the slighting of the gospel of Christ. Here thou shalt consider how willing Christ was to come into the world to save sinners, and for what a trifle thou didst reject him. This is plainly held forth in Isaiah 28, where speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, a foundation of salvation, verse 16, he saith of them that reject the gospel, that when the overflowing scourge doth pass through the earth, which I understand to be at the end of the world, then saith he, it shall take you morning by morning, by day and by night shall it pass over you, that is, continually, without any intermission. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report, a vexation, that is, a torment or a great part of hell only to understand the report, to understand the good tidings that came into the world by Christ's death for poor sinners. And you will find this verily to be the mind of the Spirit if you compare it with Isaiah 53:1, where he speaks of men's turning their backs upon the tenders of God's grace and the gospel, he saith, who hath believed our report, or the gospel declared by us? Now this will be a mighty torment to the ungodly, when they shall understand the goodness of God was so great that he even sent his Son out of his bosom to die for sinners, and yet that they should be so foolish as to put him off from one time to another, that they should be so foolish as to lose heaven and Christ and eternal life and glory for the society of a company of drunkards, that they should lose their souls for a little sport, for this world, for a strumpet, for that which is lighter than vanity and nothing. I say this will be a very great torment unto thee. Number four. Another part of thy torment will be this. Thou shalt see thy friends, thy acquaintance, thy neighbors, nay, it may be thy father, thy mother, thy wife, thy husband, thy children, thy brother, thy sister, with others in the kingdom of heaven and thyself thrust out. Number 5, again, thou shalt have none but a company of damned souls with an innumerable company of devils to keep company with thee. While thou art in this world, the very thoughts of the devils appearing to thee makes thy flesh to tremble and thine hair ready to stand upright on thy head. But oh, what wilt thou do when not only the supposition of the devils appearing, but the real society of all the devils in hell will be with thee howling and roaring, screeching and roaring, in such a hideous manner that thou wilt be even at thy wit's end and be ready to run stark mad again for anguish and torment. Number 6. Again, that thou mightest be tormented to purpose, a mighty God of heaven will lay his great wrath and vengeance upon thee, as ever he can, by the might of his glorious power. And as I said before, thou shalt have his wrath not by drops, but by whole showers shall it come, thunder, upon thy body and soul so fast and so thick, that thou shalt be tormented out of measure. And so saith the Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 1:9, speaking of the wicked, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when the saints shall be admiring his goodness and glory. Again, this thou shalt have, as I said before, without any intermission. Thou shalt not have any ease so long as while a man may turn himself around. Thou shalt have it always every hour, day and night, for their worm never dies, but always gnaws, and their fire is never quenched, as it is written in Mark 9. Number 7, again, in this condition thou must be forever, and that is as sad as all the rest. For if a man were to have all his sins laid to his charge, in communion with the devils, and as much wrath as the great God of heaven can inflict unto him, I say if it were but for a time, even 10,000 years and so end, and there would be ground of comfort and hopes of deliverance. But here is thy misery, this is thy state forever. Here thou must be forever, when thou lookest about thee and seest what an innumerable company of howling devils thou art amongst. Thou shalt think this again, this is my portion forever. When thou hast been in hell so many 1,000 years as there are stars in the firmament, or drops in the sea, or sands on the seashore, yet thou hast to lie there forever. Oh, this one word, ever, how will it torment thy soul? Friends, I have only given a very short touch of the torments of hell. Oh, I am set, I am set. I'm not able to utter what my mind conceives of the torments of hell. Yet this let me say to thee, except of God's mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ, lest thou feel that with thy conscience which I cannot express with my tongue, and say, I am sorely tormented in this flame. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. When the damned are in this pitiful state, surrounded with fears, with terrors, with torment and vengeance, one thing they shall have, which is this, they shall see the happy and blessed state of God's children. He seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, which, as I said before, is a happy state of the saints when this life is ended. This now shall be so far from being an ease unto them, that it shall most wonderfully aggravate or heighten their torment. As I said before, there shall be weeping, or cause of lamentation, when they shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven and themselves thrust out. Number 1. Observe, those that die in their sins are far from going to heaven. He seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And indeed, it is just with God to deal with them that die in their sins according to what they have done, and to make them who are far from righteousness now to stand far from heaven to all eternity. Hearken to this, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness, and that are resolved to go on in your sins. When you die, you will be far from heaven. You will see Lazarus, but it will be afar off. Again, he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. These are some of the things the damned do behold so soon as they come into torment. Mark, and he seeth Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Lazarus, who is he? Why, even he that was so slighted, so disregarded, so undervalued by this ungodly one while he was in this world, he seeth Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. From whence observe that those who live and die, the enemies of the saints of God, let them be never so great or stout, let them bear never so much sway while they are in the world, let them brag and boast never so much while they are here, they shall, in spite of their teeth, see the saints, yea, the poor saints, even the Lazaruses, or the ragged ones that belong to Jesus, to be in a better condition than themselves. Oh, who do you think was in the best condition? Who do you think saw themselves in the best condition? He that was in hell, or he that was in heaven? He that was in darkness, or he that was in light? He that was in everlasting joy, or he that was in everlasting torments? The one with God, Christ, saints, angels, the other in tormenting flames, under the curse of God's eternal hatred, with the devils and their angels, together with an innumerable company of howling, roaring, cursing, ever-burning reprobates. Certainly this observation will be easily proved to be true here in this world by him that looks upon it with an understanding heart, and will clear itself to be true in the world to come by such as shall go either to heaven or to hell. Number two, the second observation from these words, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, is this: they that are the persecutors of the saints of the Lord now in this world shall see the Lord's persecuted ones to be they that are so highly esteemed by the Lord as to sit or be in Abraham's bosom in everlasting glory, though they, the enemies of the children of God, did so lightly esteem them that they scorned to let them gather up the dog's meat that falls under their table. This is also verified and held forth plainly by this parable. And therefore, be not grieved, O you that are tempted, persecuted, afflicted, sighing, praying, saints of the Lord, though your adversaries look upon you now with a disdainful, surly, rugged, proud, and haughty countenance, yet the time shall come when they shall spy you in Abraham's bosom. I might enlarge upon these things, but shall leave them to the Spirit of the Lord, which can better by 10,000 degrees enlarge them on thy heart and conscience than I can upon a piece of paper. Therefore, leaving these to the blessing of the Lord, I shall come to the next verse, and shall be brief in speaking to that also, and so pass to the rest. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, I told you that verse 22 is a discovery of the departure of the godly and the ungodly out of this life, where he saith, the beggar died, and the rich man also died. The 23rd verse is a discovery of the proper places both of the godly and the ungodly after death, one being in Abraham's bosom or in glory, the other in hell. Now this 24th verse is a discovery of part of the too late repentance of the ungodly when they are dropped down into hell. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. From these words, and he cried, we may observe, first, what a change the ungodly will have when they come into hell. He cried. It was like he was, laughing, jesting, jeering, drinking, mocking, swearing, cursing, prating, persecuting of the godly in his prosperity among his filthy companions. But now the case is otherwise. Now he is in another frame. Now his proud, stout, courage carriage is come down. And he cried. The laughter of the ungodly will not always last, but will be sure to end in a cry. The triumphing of the wicked is short. Job 20, verse 5. Consider you must have a change either here or in hell. If you be not new creatures, regenerate persons, newborn babes in this world, before you go hence, your note will be changed. Your conditions will be changed. For if you come into hell, you must cry. Oh, did but the singing drunkards, when they are making merry on the alehouse bench, think on this, it would make them change their note and cry, what shall I do? Whither shall I go when I die? But as I said before, the devil, as he labors to get poor souls to follow their sins, so he labors also to keep the thoughts of eternal damnation out of their minds. And indeed, these two things are so nearly linked together that the devil cannot well get the soul to go on and sin with delight unless he can keep the thoughts of that terrible afterclap out of their minds. But let them know that it shall not always be thus with them. For if, when they depart, they drop down into eternal destruction, they shall have such a sense of their sins and the punishment due to the same that it shall make them to cry. And he cried. Oh, what an alteration will there be among the ungodly when they go out of this world. It may be a fortnight or a month before their departure, they were light, stout, surly, drinking themselves drunk, slighting God's people, mocking at goodness and delighting in sin, following the world, seeking after riches, faring deliciously, keeping company with the bravest. But now they are dropped down into hell. They cry. A little while ago they were painting their faces, feeding their lusts, following their whores, robbing their neighbors, telling of lies, following of play and sport to pass away the time. But now they are in hell and they cry. It may be last year when they heard some good sermons, they were invited to receive heaven. We're told their sins should be pardoned if they closed in with Jesus. But refusing his proffers and slighting the grace that was once tendered, they are now in hell and do cry. Before they had so much time, they thought they could not tell how to spend it, unless it were in hunting and whoring and dancing and playing, and spending whole hours, yea days, nay weeks, in the lusts of the flesh. But when they depart into another place and begin to lift up their eyes in hell and consider their miserable and irrecoverable condition, they will cry. Oh, what a condition wilt thou fall into when thou dost depart this world, if thou depart unconverted and not born again. Thou hadst better have been smothered the first hour thou wast born. Thou hadst better have been plucked one limb from another. Thou hadst better have been made a dog, a toad, a serpent, nay, any other creature in the visible world, than to die unconverted. And this thou wilt find to be true when in hell thou dost lift up thine eyes and dost cry. Here then, before we go any further, you may see that it is not without good ground that these words are here spoken by our Lord, that when any of the ungodly do depart into hell, they will cry. Cry? Why so? Number one, they will cry to think that they should be cut off from the land of the living, never more to have any footing therein. Number two, they will cry to think that the gospel of Christ should be so often proffered them, and yet they are not profited by it. Number three, they will cry to think that now, though they never so willingly repent and be saved, yet they are past all recovery. Number four, they will cry to think that they should be so foolish as to follow their pleasures when others were following of Christ. Luke 13:28. Number five, they will cry to think that they must be separated from God, Christ, and the kingdom of heaven, and that forever. Number six, to think that their crying will now do them no good. Number seven, to think that at the day of judgment they must stand at the left hand of Christ among an innumerable company of the damned ones. Number eight, they will cry to think that Lazarus, whom once they slighted, must be of them that must sit down with Christ to judge, or together with Christ, to pass a sentence of condemnation on their souls forever and ever, 1 Corinthians 6:2-3. Number nine, cry to think that when the judgment is over and others are taken into the everlasting kingdom of glory, then they must depart back again into that dungeon of darkness from whence they came out to appear before the terrible tribunal. There they shall be tormented so long as eternity lasts, without the least intermission or ease. How sayest thou, O thou wanton proud, swearing, lying, ungodly wretch, whether this be to be slighted and made a mock at? And again, tell me now if it be not better to leave sin and to close in with Christ Jesus, notwithstanding that reproach thou shalt meet with for so doing, than to live a little while in this world in pleasures and feeding thy lusts, and neglecting the welfare of thy soul, and refusing to be justified by Jesus, and in a moment to drop down to hell and to cry. Oh, consider, I say, consider betimes, and put not off the tenders of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, lest you lift up your eyes in hell and cry for anguish of spirit. That was a partial reading from the book A Few Sighs from Hell, or The Groans of a Damned Soul by John Bunyan.